All right, so I'm just going to wait a minute while the kids get out. There's still food. I'm not offended if you get food while I'm talking, so just know that. All right, this week we began our stewardship campaign for the year by mailing out a daily devotional and a faith card through which you can make an estimate of giving for the coming year. The stewardship theme for this year is test and see that the Lord is good. It's a combination of two scriptures from the Old Testament. The first one is from the prophet Malachi 3:10, which says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing." And the second is from Psalm 34:8, which says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who trust in him." If you think about it, both of those verses have a similar message. The psalm says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." In other words, give it a chance. Once you've tried it, you'll know how good God really is. And the message in Malachi is essentially the same, but it's actually tying it directly to tithing. It says, "Try giving a tithe and see if I don't shower blessings on you. Test me in this. I dare you," God says. You know, there are some stewardship campaigns where they've got a financial goal in mind, and the church sort of marks a growing thermometer type thing as people give more and more. As far as I know, there is no set financial goal in this stewardship campaign. There's no magic number we're trying to achieve. Rather, the goal we have is the spiritual growth of each of us. While it is true that the church needs money to operate, to pay staff, to keep the lights on, and provide for the ongoing ministries here at First Christian, our primary goal is to be a place where we can grow in discipleship of Jesus Christ. I have to say, we would be kidding ourselves if we didn't think that discipleship of Jesus had anything to do with what we do with our money. The Bible talks a lot about money. I read that there's more than 2,000 verses in the Bible on just the subject of money and possessions. We have approximately 38 of Jesus' parables recorded in the New Testament. Of these, 16 of those are about money and possessions. What we do with our money is directly tied to our faith. If we seek to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to seriously wrestle with the issue of giving our tithes and offerings. Struggling over the issue of money is not new for people. I'm sure none of you married folks out there have ever fought about money. So when I preach, I kind of want to tell you nice personal stories if it will help us engage in the scripture. But if I'm being honest, much of what I can tell you today is of God's faithfulness and my own struggle to have anything resembling faith in the matter. I have to admit that my wife, Stephanie, is much better with money than I am. She does our taxes. She makes sure to hound me if I'm spending our savings on fast food. Not only that, but she is much more generous than I am. Giving is a spiritual gift. It's listed in Romans 12 alongside a series of other spiritual gifts. I think she has it. I can say that trying to give a tithe to the church, 10% of our income, or even a regular portion of our income has always been a struggle for me. I think it's more than likely that some of you have had this same struggle. I've watched the way this church has gone about this stewardship campaign, and I really like it. You should have recently received a mailed stewardship devotional for September. The idea of focusing on stewardship through studying a spiritual devotional, I think, is much closer to God's intent on the issue. What we do with our money is a spiritual issue. Matthew 6:21 affirms this in saying, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." If you didn't get a stewardship devotional this year and would like one to help you wrestle with this idea of giving, I'm sure one could be made available to you. Fred Craddock tells a story about a man walking through an airport in New York. This well-dressed man was seen picking up a newspaper that a boy had been selling. The boy was away trying to sell some papers, and so the stack of remaining newspapers was left alone. The paper cost just a quarter, and this well-dressed man walked away with the newspaper under his arm, failing to leave the quarter. It's just a quarter. It's really not that big of a deal, I suppose. Then the man went through the line at the cafe. He was filling his tray with all sorts of things that all added up to a nice round figure that he, of course, paid for at the cashier. But he also slipped a couple things of butter under his plate. Those things cost maybe a dime, maybe a nickel even. It's nothing. But in terms of this man's character, it's not nothing. In terms of his spiritual formation, of where his heart is, that little nickel or that quarter holds a far greater weight than he may have thought. Mother Teresa said that little things are indeed little, but to be faithful in little things is a great thing. My generation is notoriously flaky. We want to, quote, find ourselves before making solid commitments to anything, and giving of our tithes and offerings is a serious faith commitment. The old comedian Jack Benny had a reputation as an inflexible tightwad with his money. One day in a skit on his radio show, a robber stopped him on the street, poked a gun in his ribs, and said, "Your money or your life?" After a long pause and a few more jabs with the gun, Benny then responded, I'm thinking. Jesus says in the Gospels, for those who want to find their life or save their own life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. It's apparent that it's in the little things that we choose to commit to or not commit to, the things we give to or don't give to, that really begins to show who we really are. I think that wondering if it's financially sensible and practical to give 10% of our income is reasonable. It may seem like we're giving away security or lifestyle. And if you work part-time with irregular hours, you may honestly be wondering 10% of what. But God asks us to give from whatever we have. And giving faithfully from whatever we have may not make sense on the surface, but neither does God's faithfulness to us. God is good and faithful all the time, even amidst my terrible unfaithfulness. Our scripture for today in Malachi says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Put me to the test, God says. Then see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down an overflowing blessing. God is a good and faithful God. If we indeed believe that God is faithful, according to this scripture, it's hard to have any good excuse to not be fully faithful ourselves. It says we will be blessed. The scripture charges us to test God in this. God's basically saying, be faithful with what you have. I dare you. I think that it's at times when we are faithful that we can really begin to see that God is faithful. When Stephanie and I were going through seminary, we found a great student church to work at. We considered ourselves really blessed that we were able to make enough money that we could pay all our bills at a job that we could be in ministry and go to school. Then we found out that Stephanie was pregnant, and we started doing the math. Now, I'm terrible at math, but I assure you, nothing added up. I was freaking out. We were stressed, fighting about money. I was worried sick. I didn't trust God. We were trying to go to school and work at the church, and now we were thinking I needed to get another job with my non-existent free time. But in all of this, I found out something about God that I somehow forgot in all of my seminary classes. A while before the baby came, Stephanie and I found out that through the church, we could get a significantly reduced rate on our health insurance. It was like less than a quarter of the cost we had planned on paying with that new baby. I later found out that I received a really great scholarship that would allow me to not have to get a job and not have to worry. Then a couple months before Ella was born, three different churches that we were a part of had baby showers for us. And if you know anything about the church, and I suspect you do, you'd know that it was a huge blessing. After the last one, I had just about had it. I went to meet Stephanie at a friend's house, and all her friends happened to be there, but I couldn't hold it in any longer, and I cried like a baby. It was very, very embarrassing. More than ever, I found it overwhelmingly true that God is good. God is faithful. One of the things Pastor David has said for this stewardship campaign is that there are certain prayers God loves to answer. God loves it when we pray to be faithful. When Solomon became king of Israel, God told him he could ask for anything he wanted. We read in 1 Kings that Solomon didn't pray for power or wealth or fame. He prayed for the wisdom to lead faithfully. And God loved Solomon's prayer so much that he gave him everything else as well. I invite you now and throughout this month to struggle alongside me, to wrestle with God about giving of your tithes and offerings. Let us each pray to God that we may be faithful with what we have. Start with just something at least. It may seem like nothing, but in terms of faithfulness, of where your heart is, it's not nothing. Giving even something carries a far greater weight than we may think. Test me in this, God says. I dare you. God is good, and when we begin to step out in faith, we may see that more than ever. Amen. At this time, we celebrate communion together. You can go around to various stations. There's a communion station scattered around the room, and you're invited to go and take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup, and you can leave your offering at the table as well. Let's share in this time of communion together.